I haven't had the privilege of speaking in this service in a couple of months, and so I'm glad to be back up here today speaking with you again. I woke up so excited about the opportunity. I said, I got to find a special shirt to wear for today. And I looked through the entire closet, saw all the different colors of shirts I have, and I said, why not, instead of just wearing one color, why not just wear them all? And so that brings me to my fashion choice today. You may think it's a crossover between Saved by the Bell and the Barbie movie. You may think anything you'd like to think. But I'm just glad to be here and to be seen today, if nothing else. But we are certainly thankful to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And as we are continuing in our ongoing sermon series for the summer, Family Reunion, looking back at the first families of our faith out of the book of Genesis. If you have your Bible with you, I invite you to turn with me this morning to our scripture out of Genesis chapter 32. And if you don't have a Bible with you, that's fine. We'll have it on the screen here in just a minute. So again, Genesis chapter 32, and we'll be starting this morning in verse 22. The Bible says, that night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of the man's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. The man asked him, what is your name? Jacob, he answered. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. Jacob said, please tell me your name. But he replied, why do you ask my name? Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me as we get started this morning? God, thank you for the witness of Scripture and how it leads us closer to you. As we seek your truth this morning, open our hearts and minds to receive what you have to share with us and help us in turn to share it with others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I didn't know what I was looking at when I first saw it, but I knew almost immediately that I liked it. It was like a comic book had come to life with all sorts of crazy characters, action, and excitement. I'm talking, of course, about professional wrestling. I was blessed or cursed, depending on your bent of things, to grow up during the heyday of pro wrestling when larger-than-life heroes and villains faced off on a weekly basis inside the squared circle. I'm talking Hulk Hogan, The Nature Boy, Ric Flair, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and The Undertaker, just to name a few. Now, admittedly, while in my mid-30s, I don't follow it quite as closely as I once did, I still watch it every so often. And as I watch it through the eyes of an adult rather than a middle school boy, I'm able to see it in a slightly different light. Because whether you call it a sweaty opera, sports entertainment, or something all entirely different, pro wrestling is one long story about struggles and what it takes to overcome them. You see, some wrestlers struggle with adversaries who want their titles or their fame. Some struggle with friends and partners who betray them. Some even struggle with powerful owners who seek to hold them back. While many of us find it easy to laugh at the stories we see in pro wrestling, they're actually more grounded in reality than many of the other shows that we watch on TV. Because when we look at our own lives, we find lots of struggles too, don't we? We struggle with classmates and coworkers who taunt us at every turn. We struggle with family and friends who betray us, and yes, sometimes we even struggle with God himself. Despite our own faith, hope, and trust, our relationship with God is full of struggles, isn't it? We struggle with the words he speaks. We struggle when he remains silent. We struggle under the weight of his commands. We struggle with what he does or does not do. And we struggle with who God is calling us to be. But don't forget, just as we struggle with God, God also struggles with us. God's got to overcome the worst parts of who we are in order to get through to us. He's got to get down in the nitty-gritty of our mess in order to meet us where we are and to show us that his ways are better than our own. Today, we're going to focus on the story of an imperfect man named Jacob who embraced his struggles with God rather than avoid them. And in doing so, we too can be encouraged to face our own struggles with God, with God's help as well. So looking back to today's scripture out of Genesis 32, we pick back on the action here, and Jacob is returning home after many years away. After securing his brother Esau's birthright and blessing, Jacob ran away from home because of Esau's anger. Fearing for his life, Jacob sought to make a new start in a new place far away from his older brother. But after a while, like in all things, it was time for Jacob to go home. God had told him, "Go back to your country and your relatives, and I will make you prosper." So Jacob gathered his family, his servants, and his flock, and they started on the long journey back home, all the while knowing that sooner or later, he'd have to come face to face with Esau, that jilted older brother who had once vowed to kill him. After all these years away and all the bad blood that remained between these two brothers, Jacob was worried what Esau would do. So he prepared for the worst by sending his family, his servants, and his flock ahead of him, figuring that if Esau was out for revenge, the rest of his family stood a better chance for survival if Jacob didn't travel with them. As he stood there that long night many, many years ago on the banks of the Jabbok River and watched his family cross over to the other shore in the dead of night, I wonder what was going through Jacob's mind. Did he ever think he'd see his family again? Was his ambitious nature trying to talk him out of going home? All alone in the wilderness that night, Jacob's mind had to have been racing with all sorts of questions. But he didn't have long to think about those questions. Because suddenly, out of nowhere, in the middle of the darkness, in the middle of the wilderness, a stranger emerges and starts attacking Jacob. Who was it? Who could it be? For all Jacob knew, this stranger could have been Esau, arriving under the cover of darkness to settle the score once and for all. But as the fight continued and never let up, Jacob figured out that this wasn't Esau, and it certainly wasn't any mere mortal man. Rather, it was God himself in the form of a man. At first glance, though, for us as the reader, this doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Why would God want to attack Jacob and wrestle with him? Well, up to this point, Jacob had been very, very successful in avoiding direct confrontations and conflicts with others. He'd used his superior intellect to outsmart his brother. He used his own quickness to evade certain death. And he had used his ambition to amass a large, prosperous family of his own. But right now, all those things were gone, out of reach on the other side of the Jabbok River. Tonight, here in the wilderness, Jacob couldn't run. He couldn't hide, and he couldn't talk his way out of it like he'd done so many times before. Tonight, Jacob had to face his struggles head on, and that's exactly what he did. And that's exactly what God wanted to see. For you see, Jacob had already started to confront his past by making the decision to return home. For so long, he had stayed as far away from home to save his own skin, to avoid those difficult conversations and struggles about the broken relationship he had instigated with his brother Esau. But now his heart was starting to turn. He was starting to feel a change in his life to turn him towards his past in order to face his future. Now, on this journey, on this night, God wanted to test Jacob even further to see once and for all whether Jacob was willing to take responsibility for his actions and endure rather than avoid the conflicts that lay before him. To take things up a notch, God dislocates Jacob's hip in the midst of their fight. And in doing so, he offers Jacob a way out. He offers to let Jacob off easy. If only Jacob agrees, though. The Lord said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." Jacob's days of taking the easy way out were through. He'd come this far by following what God had called him to do, and he wasn't about to give up now. Like the challenges that lay ahead, Jacob had met this one head on, and he wasn't about to give up now. As the struggle continued, this is what happened next. But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Now, reading this particular passage of Scripture from today's message, it brings up quite a few questions that I think any of us would have come to mind. Why does Jacob demand a blessing? Why does God ask Jacob his name? And in the end, why does God change his name? Well, for starters, Jacob simply wanted a blessing for his troubles. Up to this point, he'd followed the Lord's command to return home in spite of his own personal ambitions elsewhere and his desire to save his own skin. And he'd refused to give up the fight even after dislocating his hip. In spite of everything, Jacob had persevered in spite of it all. Now, he wanted a blessing for his troubles. Not a blessing that would save his own skin or increase his ambition or enlarge his personal wealth, but a blessing that would protect his family and strengthen their faith as they faced all the trials that awaited them back home. Hearing this request, God responds with a question of his own. "What is your name?" Now, of course, God is all-knowing, all-powerful, and almighty. He knows what Jacob's name is. This question is simply just another test. This question gives Jacob one more opportunity to be the trickster, the street-smart second son who'd do or say anything in order to save his own skin. Would he now, after being posed this question, pretend to be somebody else in the hopes that this attacker would let him go? Or would he be upfront and honest for one of the first times in his life? Thankfully, Jacob chooses wisely and admits who he really is. And in doing so, he turns away from who he once was and embraces who God has now called him to be. Gone are the days of his sinfulness, arrogance, and deception. Jacob had turned from his ways, repented of his sins, and persevered in spite of this struggle. That's why God changes his name from Jacob to Israel. Jacob, a name which had come to represent nothing but ambition and deception, was no longer appropriate for this changed man. His new name would be Israel, a name which literally means God prevails. Now, to be honest, such a name seems kind of ironic, given that God hadn't necessarily won his wrestling match of Jacob. Technically speaking, it sounds more like a draw. But nevertheless, God chooses it for him anyway, and he offers this explanation in verse 28. "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." God reverses the meaning of Jacob's new name from "God prevails" to "you have prevailed." The implication being that Jacob was only victorious because he recognized God's supremacy and chose to follow his will rather than his own. For you see, Jacob's biggest struggle hadn't been with God. It'd been with himself. It'd been a lifelong struggle of doing and saying anything he could to get ahead in life, no matter the cost. Yet here, all alone in the wilderness, he'd finally won. He faced his struggles head on, and he came out victorious. Not because he was strong enough, ambitious enough, or cunning enough on his own to do it on his own way, but because Jacob was faithful. He had heard God's call, he had answered God's call, and he had stayed the course no matter what. The Bible says that as a new day began to dawn, Jacob walked away with a new name, a new blessing, and yes, even a new limp, each serving as a reminder of everything he'd just been through, and that thanks to God's help, he had overcome. What a strange, powerful, and compelling story for us to hear out of God's word today. But as we think and reflect on it, the question comes to mind, what in the world do we do with this wrestling match in our own lives today? What is it saying to each and every one of us? Well, consider these three lessons that we can glean from today's passage of Scripture. The first lesson is this: perseverance can lead to blessing. We've all faced struggles in our lives, haven't we? At times, we've even found ourselves like Jacob, vulnerable, alone, and attacked by things we don't understand and which won't seem to let us go no matter how hard we fight. Because of these struggles, we all know what it's like to be beaten. But praise God, we haven't been defeated. With God's help, we've been able to persevere, and that perseverance has led us at times to experience blessings that we didn't think were possible. Remember, at the very moment when Jacob was at his most vulnerable and enduring unimaginable pain, a new day dawned, and he was able to receive not only a new name, but a new blessing as well. Perseverance can lead to blessing. The second lesson we can take away from today's scripture is this: blessings can emerge from pain. Now, it's no secret that we all carry lots of wounds. After all, life isn't easy, and it's rarely, if ever, fair. Whether they're physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual, I think we all bear the scars of life's wrestling matches. Sometimes we don't know what to do with these scars, though, and so we try to cover them up as best as we can. We try to pretend that they're not there in the midst of trying to fool ourselves and others. But doing so only produces pain and anger, resentment and negativity that further hurts ourselves and those around us. When we experience this kind of pain, it's best not to keep it inside. It's best to just acknowledge it and to give it to God, because God is the only one who can help us process our pain in helpful ways that lead us to healing and hope. And yes, God can work through all kinds of people to help you experience those blessings which only he can bring. Whether it's a pastor, a parent, a therapist, a coach, a doctor, or a friend, God's placed all kinds of people in your path who are there to help you through the biggest struggles you're going to face in life. They can help you wrestle with whatever it is that is weighing you down. For you see, Jacob's blessing came after a season of struggle of pain. And he didn't avoid it. He didn't try to pretend it wasn't there. He acknowledged it. He shared it with others. And he met it head on. What kind of blessings may be waiting for you on the other side of the struggles you've endured or may be enduring even still? Third and final lesson we can take away is this: don't be afraid to come face to face with yourself. Jacob's greatest struggle wasn't with God, as we've already said, but it was with himself. Like Jacob, we've got to realize that oftentimes the greatest hurdles we have to jump over in life are the ones that we put there ourselves. The fact of the matter is, we're all sinful, imperfect people. We can't do a thing about that. But we keep finding new and creative ways to screw everything up, don't we? But in spite of all that, God loves us. And because of that, God wants to help us confront the sins that make our lives unnecessarily hard and which keep us from seeking his will rather than our own. As we see from Jacob's history, when we use questionable means to attain whatever we want, no matter the cost, and avoid the consequences for those actions. We'll never be able to experience real growth and peace in our lives. Like Jacob, we've got to wrestle with our past in order to fight for a more faithful and hopeful future. And that starts by first being honest with yourself. After all, there was an honesty in Jacob's struggle, wasn't there? And that's what God is looking for in our struggles today. So if you want a blessing, you've got to be honest, especially with God. Because street smarts, shortcuts, and silly tricks aren't the way to receive God's grace. And evading the consequences of your sin will only make the inevitable that much more painful. Instead, we're challenged to come down, vulnerable as we may be, and wrestle for a blessing. Yes, we may walk away limping at the end of this struggle, but we will nonetheless emerge changed for the better because we faced our struggles and we faced them honestly. As we think about all we have heard this morning out of God's word and reflected upon it in our own lives, let's remember that an imperfect man named Jacob embraced his struggles rather than avoid them. And in doing so, God gave him a new name and a new blessing to remind him how he had faced his struggles and with God's help had been able to overcome. So don't be afraid to embrace your struggles too, because God's ready to wrestle them with you. You don't have to face them alone. Would you pray with me? God, this is a tough life we live. And this is oftentimes anything but a peaceful world. There's all sorts of struggles we've endured, all sorts of struggles we've avoided, and all kinds of scars we've tried to cover up and hide from ourselves, others, and even you. But God, you know all. And God, yes, sometimes we've got to wrestle with you to get our point across and for you to get your point across too. But God, thank you for getting down in the muck and the mire with us to hold us close and to tell us that you're there and to tell us that you love us. God, thank you for that love that won't let go. Thank you for helping us to meet our challenges head on and being right there beside us as we do. Thank you for redeeming the mess of our everyday lives and for calling us forward to perseverance, to blessings, and ultimately, Lord, to the hope that is found in you and you alone. We thank you, Lord, for all those people you have placed in our lives who stand ready to help us experience that hope which you bring. We thank you, Lord, for all those trusted friends and advisors and professionals who stand ready to speak your truth and to offer pathways to healing and hope. Grant us, Lord, the courage to step out and seek that for ourselves. Grant us the courage to embrace our struggles honestly, openly, and in a way that won't let go. We thank you, Lord, for your amazing love and for the lengths you go to remind us of that love each and every day. It's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen.